Coming up, two of the biggest names in women's sport. Katie Brennan has been unveiled at Punt Road as the key signing for Richmond's AFLW team. We'll take you to that press conference and how it unfolded. And Meg Lanning, the Australian cricket captain, will be in the studio. She's been hobnobbing it with the Prime Minister yesterday. So the men are preparing for World Cup and Ashes. The women have an Ashes campaign as well. And Tom Wilson, the young man who's chosen football over basketball after already playing for the Boomers, he'll tell you why. And if you've been hanging out to review WrestleMania 35, now's the time to start sending through your messages. 0433 98 1116. After 11:30, we'll head to New York, reflect on what took place. Tomorrow, three tickets to GMHBA Stadium for the corporate box, food and beverage to your heart's content, courtesy of Red Energy for the Geelong and the Giants on Saturday. To win them, we'll put this out on Twitter. Paddy Dangerfield will be our guest at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Send through a question that you would like most answered. The question that appeals to us the most, we'll ask Paddy that question and we'll send the three tickets your way. So if you're keen to go to GMHBA Stadium on Saturday in the corporate box to see the Cats and the Giants courtesy of Red Energy, shoot us your best question for Paddy Dangerfield. We'll ask it tomorrow and send you the tickets. Meg Lanning, Katie Brennan, after the news.
Harley Heaven, stop dreaming and start riding.
Good morning, it's Chris McKenzie with SEN News. Police have confirmed Egg Boy and Senator Fraser Anning have both escaped punishment for last month's coming together. But Victorian detectives are still trying to track down a young man who kicked 17-year-old Will Connolly while he was being held to the ground by others at the events last month. Well, the PM says his government's record is squeaky clean when it comes to foreign interference in politics. It's been revealed a Chinese billionaire seeking citizenship paid thousands of dollars to a lobbyist to secure a private lunch with Peter Dutton when he was Immigration Minister. Labor has described the incidents as a cash for access scandal, but Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the application was ultimately knocked back.
Well, the individual you're referring to has actually been prevented from ever returning back to Australia. So I think when it comes to our government's acting on foreign interference, we've got a pretty strong track record.
There's a warning Australia's power grid would require upgrades to cope with any predicted uptake of electric vehicles. A report claims preparations must be made now to avoid grid instability in the future, although it's also found cars may actually help power networks get more value from their assets in the long term. Briefly today, police have released CCTV images of a man who allegedly committed an indecent act with a dog in regional Victoria last year before he was interrupted by a horrified witness. And a US judge is yet to decide if confrontational body cam footage of Australian woman Justine Damon's final moments will be aired in the murder trial of a former police officer. SEN.com.au Sport next.
Tonight on 10, there's one thing everybody wants to know in Paradise. What is Brooke's bombshell? Bachelor in Paradise premieres 7:30 tonight on 10.
Richmond's confirmed it snared Bulldogs co-captain Katie Brennan as its inaugural AFLW signing. Brennan has inked a two-year marquee deal ahead of the Tigers' entry into the comp next season. The 26-year-old admits it was a tough decision to leave the Witten Oval.
An incredible 7 years, and it's something that I'll hold very dear with all the amazing relationships that I've built there and all the amazing experiences that I've had. In saying that, I'm so excited to start afresh here at Richmond, and I can't wait to meet my teammates.
And Eden Hazard has scored a double as Chelsea took a 2-0 win over West Ham to move back to third on the English Premier League table this morning. Weather coming up.
Buses replace trains along the Sandringham line from April 13th to 14th. For more information and to find your plan B, visit bigbill.vic.gov.au.
Reports of an accident to look out for at the intersection of Whiteman Street and Kingsway. We've got a broken down truck to look out for on the Westgate heading inbound off the bridge at the Todd Road Service Centre. The left-hand lane is blocked there. The left-hand lane is also blocked due to a broken down truck on the Tulla Freeway outbound just before the Calder Freeway. We're seeing crews on the scene. And crews on the scene of a broken down car to look out for. That is on the Tulla Freeway inbound at Pasco Vale Road. Buses are currently replacing trains along the Pakenham and Cranbourne line until April 23rd. To find your plan B, visit bigbill.vic.gov.au today. That's the latest SEN Sky Traffic.
Hi, it's Tim Watson. The all-new SEN app is here. Update now or download today.
Happy Tin. Happy Tint your home, your office, your car. Call 1-800-HAPPY-TINT. Rain, hail or shine, if you're digging for a living, the conditions are always perfect at Supergroups, Victoria's number one Kubota construction dealer.
A few showers around today. It'll be mostly dry and 16 the top tomorrow, partly cloudy and 18 expected on Wednesday. Right now it is 15 degrees.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Doncaster BMW. Beyond your expectations. This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley on SEN.
Much to the anguished cries of Bulldogs fans, Katie Brennan is the inaugural signing for Richmond in the AFLW. A couple of texts that came through early on just spoke of the disillusionment on that front. Katie Brennan leaving Bulldogs. This is absolutely disgraceful that she can leave like that. Club captain, face of the club. My youngest daughter is devastated. We have lost two of the best players in 2 years. Rubbish. I guess that's one of the difficulties with the growth phase, the way that it's been set up. It's hard to build a culture, a fabric at a club, and the transient natures of players and the new clubs coming in. This is Katie Brennan as she was announced a short time ago at Punt Road.
Yeah, it is a very exciting day. It's an amazing to be a part of something so special and to be able to, I guess, you know, start something really amazing here at the Richmond Football Club. They've had a fantastic season so far within the VFL Women's and they've built some incredible foundations for future success to come with all the hard work that, Kate Sheehan, Tommy Hunter and Neil Balm have done so far. I guess my message to the Western Bulldogs fans, this move for me was, based on the fact that I feel like I need a fresh start with my football. It's been a pretty challenging few years with some ankle injury and missing the grand final last year. And in saying that, I'm so excited to start afresh here at Richmond and I can't wait to meet my teammates.
So that's the why and the difficulty of building lists with new clubs coming in each year and the transient nature of it for the time being. Your message is 0433 98 11 16. A busy morning for the Tigers. They've lodged their appeal for the tribunal tonight. They'll try to have Dustin Martin's two-match suspension reduced to one when the tribunal sits tonight. Another huge name in Australian sports, the captain of the Australian women's cricket team, Meg Lanning, is in the studio. Meg, welcome to SEN.
Thank you for having me.
I was going to ask you, how's your off-season been? But I saw you with the Prime Minister yesterday, so you're moving in the right corridors at the moment.
Yeah, took a break from my break, I guess, and play a little bit of cricket with the Prime Minister to announce some funding for the National Cricket Campus up there in Brisbane. So it was a pretty quick trip. It was a lot hotter up in Brisbane than it was here. So, it was a nice day.
Prime Ministers playing cricket have provided various moments. I think his first two balls were reasonably eventful, weren't they?
Yes, I was a little bit nervous for him, I must admit, after previous Prime Ministers having a bowl, but he had good line and length and bowled extremely well. So it was good to see him excited to be there and it was nice to meet him.
In that announcement, what are the tangible benefits of what was announced yesterday?
Yeah, I guess it just gives a really good base for not just elite cricket, but also community cricket. To have Allan Borderfield sort of updated, I guess, and give us more access to that. And then the facility on Shore Road, I think it is, which is about 10 minutes from the NCC in Brisbane, just gives us more access to facilities that can get pretty busy up there at times. So to be able to have access to those facilities all year round is pretty incredible. So that's certainly going to help Australian cricket.
We're going to take the chance to touch base with you through to the Ashes, to the build-up there, Meg. Just talk us through what's been. Has it been the most intense, the busiest period of your cricket career through the T20 World Cup, the success, and then all that there was the WBBL and the summer of cricket?
It certainly has. And we knew going into last summer that it was going to be pretty busy, but I guess until you're actually in the middle of it, you don't sort of know what it's going to be like. So for us, the T20 World Cup was obviously at the start of the summer, I guess, and that was the really big moment for us. And to get a victory there was very special, coming off a couple of disappointing World Cups previous to that. So to have that experience and then come back to playing what was an amazing WBBL is certainly something that we're very lucky to be a part of, and we're enjoying being a part of it and growing the game, and now that the opportunities are there for young girls coming through to see the pathway and get involved in cricket, it's certainly a very exciting time to be playing.
Did you feel like you needed the spell at the end of it?
A little bit, yeah. I had a little bit of a break there at the start of the WBBL. I I hurt my back first game back, which wasn't ideal. But I guess that was my little break in the middle. And then once I got back into it, it was great fun. So that semi final and final, the WBBL, I was unfortunately not playing. I was commentating on it, and it was so exciting and two of the best games you'll see.
And then finished the summer really strongly against New Zealand as well.
We did, yeah. It was nice to finish off well. We spoke a lot about making sure that we didn't let the last couple of games slip and finish off what was such a great summer for us. So the Kiwis have had a good run against us, I guess, in the last few years. But it's been nice this summer to be able to dominate, I guess, and to finish off well with some good crowds as well.
How do you go during a break? Do you put your bat down? Do you leave it alone, or are you a fidgeter?
No, I put the bat away. I haven't played cricket for over a month now, and I've been trying a little bit of golf actually. Some good shots, some bad shots, unfortunately. I sort of chase the ball around the course a fair bit, but that's been a good way to, I suppose, get away from cricket and have a bit of fun, and it's nice to have a bit of a break, especially after such a big summer and a big summer coming up as well.
How intense would you describe your cricket career as now?
It's certainly taken off in the last few years. I think the amount of cricket we're playing has certainly increased, and that's domestically and internationally. So I think coming up with the summer, once we get away in June to the Ashes, we don't really stop until April next year. So that's sort of become the new norm, I guess, and being able to deal with that is something we're going to have to look at. And we're really excited about the amount of cricket that we've got coming up.
So what is your program heading towards the Ashes?
We get back into training in a couple of weeks' time. We'll spend a little bit of time up in Brisbane in the sunshine and the warm weather outside, and then we do head off sort of towards the end of June. So we still got a little bit of time to prepare and have that little bit of a pre-season, which is always good fun, and we'll be ready to go come the end of June.
So when you pick the bat back up, and what you it's not retraining, it's just reacclimatizing yourself to it. What would your process be? How diligent are you in preparing yourself first for pre-season camp and then for what's to come? How obsessive are you, I suppose, is the question.
I probably do a lot more batting in the nets in the pre-season. Once I get into the season, I sort of, it's more about feel and sort of just getting myself ready. But certainly in the pre-season, you identify a couple of things that you want to work on specifically, and you've actually got the time to do that, which you don't get in season. So initially it'll just be identifying what that is and spending a lot of time in the nets trying to play that. And then I think towards the start of June, we've actually got some practice matches against some of the Aussie A teams as well. So that'll be a good chance to put that into practice. So, I'll hit a fair bit over the next few months to prepare. So hopefully once the season comes around, I can just go and play all my shots in the games.
Is batting anything you can truly master, or is it sort of the unfulfilled art you chase it the whole time?
Yeah, I think cricket in general is, the moment you think you got everything worked out, then something bad will happen and you'll be brought back to earth pretty quickly. So, there's always things you need to learn and improve. And, that's the important thing for me, I guess, is identifying those and trying to implement them. And they're not massive changes. I think you've got your core game that you're very good at. But I think if you can start improving things and just changing things slightly, I think that's going to keep you ahead of the game.
What's the challenge of England? And this is a conversation for both Australia's men's and women's, and has been for generations. What's the specific challenge of England that you've learnt so far?
Well, I think the conditions are slightly different. Generally the ball swings a fair bit over there, especially with the new ball. And we're also playing a test match, which is something that we don't do too often. So that presents another challenge to us just in terms of training and the preparation for that. We've got to get the balance right, I guess, to be ready for that format, because we play so much short format cricket that sort of takes us a couple of days sometimes to work out what we're doing in the test match. So hopefully we can be ready for that. So and the other thing that I've really loved playing over in England is the crowds. So the grounds are very good for women's cricket. So they're full crowds. You get 10,000 to 12,000 people, but the atmosphere is incredible, and they're all on England's side, unfortunately, which makes it a good challenge and good fun. So I think they're the couple of things that we look forward to, and they're going to be a good challenge for us.
Given that you are deprived the chance to play test cricket terribly often, how much energy, how much effort are you able to put into that one game in a series where those points won't necessarily determine the Ashes?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, I guess, because we don't play a lot of test matches. It's something that we have to prepare slightly different for. So, you know, we obviously want to win that test match. It's not the be-all and end-all, I guess, of the series, but it does play a big part. And, you know, putting on that bag of greens, a very special moment for all our group. And we always look forward to that opportunity. So preparing for that is something we've looked at, I guess, and we have certain days along the way and weeks where we sort of have the focus on the longer format, because we don't obviously train too much for that, given that we don't play. So, yeah, it's a exciting prospect. We always love playing the test matches, and hopefully it can be a great game this time around.
There isn't any great willingness to schedule more test matches for you, as Kevin Roberts sort of again restated that at the Melbourne Press Club a week and a half ago or so. Are you disappointed in that?
Yeah, we'd love to play more test matches. Unfortunately, it's only Australia and England that are interested at the moment, and you know, we only play each other every couple of years. So that probably is a bit of a problem. And you know, hopefully down the track, more countries are interested in. You know, I think India would be great at playing test matches. I think they'd probably be the big fish, I guess, to get involved, because they've got such a big influence in cricket. So if that was the case, I think that would definitely help the, you know, that side of the game grow. But yeah, unfortunately, one game every 2 years is it's difficult to prepare for, I guess, and play well. But we enjoy playing them, so hopefully there's a few more down the track.
How tight is the Australian women's team at the moment, given what you have achieved? It seems like a very settled side, so I imagine the core group doesn't extend beyond sort of 16 or 17. Are you in contact while you're having your break from each other, or how tight are you?
Yeah, look, we're a very close group, and we've built that over a number of years. And we went through some disappointing times, which I think has really helped the group to grow together and really work towards where we want to be as a team. And we're not finished yet. You know, we won the T20 World Cup, but we've got another World Cup coming up in Australia in March, which we're really looking forward to. And, you know, I guess the good thing is we've had really good consistency within our group. I think we only had one change within our contract list this season. Georgia Wareham came in, who's done an excellent job since coming into the group. So we all enjoy each other's company. We speak very often, and, you know, I guess that translates onto the field, which is nice.
How have you come to understand the honour of being the Australian captain?
I've loved every minute of it. You know, to be honest, growing up, I never really thought too much about leadership or anything like that. And I sort of fell into the role in a way, and I've learnt a lot. It's been a massive learning curve for me, and I certainly still got plenty of areas to improve. But it's a huge honour to be in this role, and I've had a lot of support behind me the whole way through. And as I said, I'm loving every moment, and it's such a great time to be involved in the game, and to be able to lead the way in a small way is really exciting, and looking forward to what the future holds as well.
Have you got a good grasp that it's not just captaining the team, it's captaining something a lot bigger than that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes you can forget the influence you have on a lot of different people, and we're lucky to be in a position to be role models, I guess, and try and lead the way for young girls coming through to be involved in sport. And I think the WBBL's played a really big part in developing that. We've seen that grow over the last few years, and you know, it's become such a big part of the summer, and we really enjoyed that side of things, you know, trying to show the way for young girls and show what's possible. So it's something we speak about a lot as a group, and we enjoy doing it, and yeah, hopefully we can inspire the next generation to come through.
Is it the plan that it will have its own window next year? Is that formulated this
the
year?
WBBL. Yeah. So that's happening in October, I think, October, November. So it's the first time it'll be standalone from the men's competition, which I think it's a good time for it. I think we saw the standalone finals last year work really well, and I think it just gives us a bit more flexibility as well. So I think that the players are looking forward to that window and playing a little bit earlier and sort of setting the scene for the summer, I guess. It's the start of what's going to be a massive year, and yeah, hopefully it can continue to grow.
So cricket's always been close to your heart. So when you were growing up and what the idea of it was going to be compared to the reality, is the world shifted at exactly the right time, and you've played a major role in shifting it, I should say. What's the reality of it now compared to what the pathway looked like?
Well, the reality is now that it's a career, and you know, it's a full-time job, I guess you could call it. It doesn't feel like a job, but and that option is there now for young girls coming through. And when I came through and was playing state cricket, you know, I never thought that that would be the case. It's changed so quickly within 5 to 10 years, and I guess that's the good thing about the generation at the, you know, at the moment playing the game, is that we were always playing for the love of the game and really enjoyed it. So we've got to make sure that we keep that within the young girls coming through into the team, and making sure that you know, we're really grounded and you know, trying to make sure we're well-rounded people, not just cricketers, I guess. So yeah, the reality of what it is now is certainly not what I thought it would be when I started playing. It's changed so quickly, and you know, the fact that it is now full time is a great thing to be a part of, and we feel very lucky.
And the explosion in women's sport, the competition between codes, as well as the overall rise, what is it, the rising tide lifts all boats. How does cricket have to be careful to protect its place, or is all that's happening with women's sport, does one build the next, build the next, build the next?
I think there's an element of both in that, probably. I think cricket has been leading the way in terms of women's sport and opportunities, both at the elite level and at the grassroots level, and other sports are now coming into the frame, which is great. I've watched a fair bit of the AFLW, which is taking off and you know, finished really well a couple of weeks ago. So I think that competitiveness between sports is only going to help things to keep improving. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. You know, netball's obviously there as well, and so the competition's there. And as I said, cricket's been leading the way, but we've got to keep trying to evolve and improve things to make sure that people want to pick cricket and play cricket as much as possible. So that's probably the next challenge, is to keep players involved.
What do you think of the scenario around Erin Phillips, best player in the competition, best player in the grand final? Does her knee in that grand final, internationally revered athlete, just such a moment, which was, it was cruel, it was sad, and yet there was clearly a pathos around it, but the reaction of colleagues and peers, teammates, opponents alike, the outpouring there.
Yeah, I watched that game, and you sort of look at Erin Phillips and think she's sort of bulletproof in a way. She was just sort of next level, and for something like that to happen to such a great athlete was a bit deflating, I guess. And I think watching her go off the field, everyone's reaction to that probably showed where they hold her in Australian sport. You know, she's been incredible over the last couple of years to be such a good athlete, male or female. I think she's right up there. So that was certainly a big moment in sport. And, you know, hopefully that can just continue to, you know, encourage people to watch what is sport, whether it's men playing or women playing. It's all the same, and people love it. So hopefully that can continue to grow. And there's a few more moments like that coming up.
Meg, it's great of you to come in, and we'll touch base all the way through to when the Ashes happens. Just one question here was, when you pick up the bat and go into the nets, do you like to face the machine or the real stuff? How do you prepare yourself?
I'm not a big ball machine fan, to be honest. I think you get into some bad habits playing too many of those. So, yeah, our coach Matthew Mott probably isn't too happy because his shoulder gets a little bit sore throwing all those balls, as he keeps telling us. So, yeah, I'd prefer throws or someone bowling, but... you can't always get that.
Enjoy the last bit of your downtime, and we'll talk to you as you prepare for the Ashes.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Good on you. Meg Lanning, who is the Australian women's cricket captain, with it's an outstanding year for cricket that is coming, and the Ashes for the women, and then the T20, and the ambition to break the world record for a crowd in the final of that at the MCG. So it's something that we will plot the course with all the way through. More around how to win those tickets, pose a question to Paddy Dangerfield. Full details coming up. And the young man who has chosen to forsake his international basketball ambitions, he's already played for the Boomers, he's going to switch back to AFL. Tom Wilson is going to join me shortly.